wait for the official reply. You know, when they close the door, then you can move your seat.
So I'm both saying, just to tell you, we'd open up here. We began a discussion a while back, and I think it'll connect to also another sugya about Machashe Me'avodah L'Avodah. Now we had a discussion about whether Pigul is just a Machshava or requires Dibur. Do you recall?
Yeah.
So I think I found a very important Rashi on this topic, which I'd like to learn with you today. And this is on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis. So if you can open up to Mem Aleph Amid Beis, that's where we want to take a look.
I have them both.
And again, this is going to tie in back to 40, hopefully, right? The beginning of the Masechta, which was still working hard on Machsheves Psul, Machsheva Poselis. So the Gemara here, in the middle of the page, quotes a Mishnah in Masechta Menachos. And the Mishnah in Masechta Menachos deals with the case of Pigul with regard to the two parts of a Karban Mincha. The two parts of a Karban Mincha are called Kometz and Lavona. And these both have to be brought on the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim about the following case. Tnan Hossam. So you're on Mem Aleph Amid Beis, halfway through the Amud. Pigel b'chometz below b'levona, b'levona below b'chometz. Rabbi Meir Omer Pigul, b'chayovan aleha akareis. V'chachomim omrim ein bo kareis ad shiifagil b'chol ha-mati. So with regard to Haktoras HaMincha, we have shnei matirim, we have the kometz and the levona, and he was machtir one of them with a machsheves pigul. He did not have a machsheves pigul on the other one. And it doesn't matter whether it's kometz or levona, they both are absolutely critical in the Karban Mincha. Rabbi Meir says that this is pigul. And the Gemara is going to try to analyze why Rabbi Meir thinks it's pigul. After all, he only had a machsheves pigul either in the kometz or in the levona. Chachamim say no, that this is not pigul. He did not have pigul in kol amatir, at shiifagil b'chol amatir. And if he didn't have a machsheves pigul on both kometz and levona, which is called kol amatir, that's not called pigul. And therefore, it doesn't engender a chiyuv kares. It would be possible, but it would not be mechayev kares. Now, before Reish Lakish, who's about to offer his analysis of this machlokes, the impression you get is that since the Chachamim turned to Rabbi Meir and they said to him, "Ad shiifagel b'chol amatir," apparently Rabbi Meir is not impressed with that. He holds it as a pigul in what's called chatzi matir, and you don't have to have a machsheves pigul in kol amatir. But Rav Shimon ben Lakish is not willing to question that premise of the Chachamim, meaning no one would doubt the principle of Ein Pigul V'chatzi Matir. And therefore, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Lo Tema, don't assume that Taima de Rabbi Meir de Kosova Mefaglin V'chatzi Matir. No, even Rabbi Meir agrees that Ein Mefaglin V'chatzi Matir. No, so how do you get Pigul with one of these two, either the Kometz or the Levona? Each one is a Chatzi Matir. So the Gemara says that it depends on when he had the Machsheves Pigul, in what sequence. Hacha B'mai Askinon, says Reish Lakish, the case of Rabbi Meir, where there is Pigul, is Kigon Shenosan Es HaKometz. The first Nesina was the Machsheves Pigul. Valavona b'shsika, but he didn't have a machsheves pigul in the second one, or you could reverse it around, or he had a machsheves pigul in the levona, which he started with, and then he was b'shtika at the time of the kometz. And what is Rabbi Meir holding here? He's not holding that a machsheves pigul b'chatzi matir is enough to engender pigul. No, but kasavar, it all depends on what he started with. Did he start with a machsheves pigul? Kol ha'osa al das rishona hu osa. And Rashi's going to point out, we'll see this inside, that Aldas HaRishona means that he started with a Machsheves Pigul. If you flip it around, then he started with Shesika, and then he had a Machsheves Pigul, where you can't apply the principle of Rav Meir of Aldas HaRishona, who said, but rather he started without a Machsheves Pigul, then you can only introduce a Machsheves Pigul B'chatzi Matir, and Ein Pigul B'chatzi Matir. So Rav Meir never would disagree with the Chacham if he started with Shtika, but if he started with a Machsheves Pigul, he doesn't have to continue with the Machsheves Pigul because Aldas Rishona Hu Osa. It comes out that the machlokes here between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham according to Reish Lakish is whether or not we apply the principle called Osa Aldas Rishona Hu Osa. So when I first saw this sugya before Rashi, my impression was that this is kind of a universal machlokes that can apply in many, many cases where the Torah requires a machshava and you wonder whether or not you can start with a machshava, that would be enough to assume that everything else you did, your entire asiyah, was based on that original machshava. Again, this is before Rashi, and again, I'm not going to throw this out because of Rashi, because I think it's a simple way of learning the Gemara. In terms of get, for example, a person has to write, the sofer has to write a get lishma. Obviously, he's going to start with lishma. A person has to write a sefer Torah lishma. If he started with a machshava, even in the case of Shmon Esrei, we find similar examples. You know, he had kavan at the beginning of Shmon Esrei, and the Gemara says that if he had kavan in Avos, this is a Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud, that's enough to carry him through the entire tefillah. So whenever the Torah requires a machshava connected with a maisa, you can ask the following question: do I have to continuously have that machshava befoal in an actual way from beginning to end, or no? It's enough that I begin my maisa with a certain machshava, and that sets up the maisa. The maisa now continues based on that machshava. So Rav Meir came up with the chiddush, and his chiddush was called Osal Das Rishonu Osa. That means his asiyo began with a certain machshava. And then we can continue with that machshava, and the asiyah will automatically generate that machshava. I don't need to generate that machshava on a continuous basis. And the Chacham disagreed. The Chacham said, no, if you're setting up a maisa, it's very nice to set it up in the beginning, but we need a machshava throughout. So let's say, for example, if a person would, the sofer is writing a get, and he starts with the machshava slishma, then he has to continue with that machshava slishma straight through. I'll give you an example. The Rambam Shita in Hilchos Gerushin is that a Baal could be mavatal the get before the get is being given, it was given or was delivered. Let's say, for example, he sent the get with a shliach. And the Rambam Shita is that, again, without takanos, see, I'm just talking about the Doraisa halacha, is that the Baal can make a statement, hinini mavatal get zeh, and the get is possible as long as the get hasn't been delivered. Once the delivery of the get was achieved, then she's already a grusha. He cannot undermine the get. So how does this bittul get work? And I may have heard this from my Rebbe, I don't know, but in any event, I think it works like this, that a machsheves lishma is an ongoing machshava. It's not that you had a machshava and the get is now finalized. But up until the nesinas haget, the get has to be supplied with the machshavas lishma. If he's mavatal the get, that means he removes his lishma from the get, then the get is not worth the paper it's written on. So the chachamim here would reflect a kind of approach that requires an ongoing machshava, whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, once the machshava clinches the tchilas ha-maisa, the maisa is already, so to speak, set in stone, and automatically, that din of machshav is fulfilled with regard to this mice. But then I opened up Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Rabbi Meir Omer Pigel kid mefarish time al kamon, that if he had in this haktor samincha two matirim, a kometz and a levona, he had a machsheves pigel of chutz l'zmano at the time of haktoras ha'echad mehem, whichever one it would be. And then he did not follow up with that machshav at the time of the second matir, but rather he did the second matir b'shtika. Rabbi says it's pigul based on the first machshava. And the Gemara says, "Kigon shenasan es hakometz b'machshava." So he began with the kometz in this case. Next case is he going to be? Rashi is going to say, "Hu adin," if he started with the levona. V'yakach levona b'shtig hu adin nasa levona machshava t'chilu v'yakach kometz b'shtig v'taima. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir? Mishum daldas harishona hu osa. Again, this is Reish Lakish's platform here, that even Rav Meir agrees to the fundamental principle of the Chachon, that you need a mafaga b'chol amater, not b'chatzi amater. That's not enough. But he has a mafaga b'chol amater. And why? By virtue of the mechanics of Aldas Rishona Huosa. V'rabbanan Savri, Aldas Rishona Lo Amrina. Okay, we don't say Aldas Rishona. Again, I'm still pushing my agenda here that Aldas Rishon Lo Amrina because the Maisa requires that ongoing machshav. But here Rashi introduces a special kodshim halacha, and that's where he veers us on a different path. He says Elm Kain Omar Af Bishen. So again, which word do I want to emphasize at this point in Rashi? That the Chachamim hold that we don't apply the principle Aldas Rishona Hu Oseh. Why not? Rabbanan Savri Aldas Rishona Lo Amrinan Elin Kain Omar Af Besheni. You hear me? You know, I already gave it away. That Rashi is already introducing another element into this equation, and that is the Amira. Now you wonder why the Amira is so critical here to explain the Rabbanan Shita, and Rashi insists on it, and he repeats himself over and over again, that because, and again, that's our issue really today, is whether or not Pigel requires an Amira, or it's enough to have a Machshava. And Rashi says that, you know what, there's no such thing as Pigel without a Dibur, without an Amira. Oh, so how does that impact on the Chachamim? V'lo Amrina on Aldas Rishona Hu Oseh, why not? Says Rashi, that we need an amira. V'chol machshava de kodshim motzi mipivhu. He has to enunciate it. And since he has to enunciate it, he only enunciated it at the time of what?
The first
matir, whether it be the levono, whether it be the kometz, it matters not. And he never enunciated it with regard to the second matir. And that's why you cannot assume Aldas Rishona Hu Oseh. Then Rashi goes back to Rabbi Meir, and he says Rabbi Meir is only talking about a case where he did the first part of this avoda, whether it was the haktorah of the kometz or the haktorah of the levona. He did it with a machsheves kodshim of Pigul, of Chutzlus Mana. However, there's no such din as Yesh Pigul Bechatzi Matir, because Aldas Rishonu Hu Oseh, and therefore if it was Rishonu B'Shtika Ushnia B'Machshava, Tien Kanela Machsheves Chatzi Matir, Modra Meir Delo Pigul El Apostle. So notice when Rashi gets to the end, the Sefer, he addresses the Shita of Rabbi Meir, all of his language focuses on what? Listen to it again. You have it inside? He says that when he gets to the Chachamim, Rishona b'shtika ushnia b'machshava. And he doesn't mention what?
Dibur.
He doesn't mention Amir at this point. It's interesting. When he's addressing the Shita of the Chachamim, he says that kol machsheves kodshim b'motzi mipivhu, and he says that he has declared something at the first, whether it's the levona or the kometz, and that's called a dibur at the first machshava. He's motzi mipivhu, but when he got to the second machshava, the second avoda, there it was b'shtika. Right?
Why do you assume that statement of the lower, the what you call machshava, but kachem mostly befet. But why do you assume that's only going to be about not a general rule?
Well, let's read it again. He's saying the following: v'taima, right? What's the reasoning? He says of Rabbi Meir. He says the Aldas Rishona who osa v'nitzu machfagu b'chol amati. Then I would like to put a period here and or press the return button. And he says for Rabbanan, meaning what did the Rabbanan do with this principle of kol osa Aldas Rishona who osa? And he says Rabbanan Savri that we can't say Aldas Rishona who osa. Why? Because we're missing an Amira b'sheni. Ella in Cain, he says, Omar bi'af b'sheni. In other words, now Rashi wants to suggest that the problem that the Rabbanan are facing here, and the reason why they block the application of Kala Os al Das Rishonu Os, is because there was no Amira b'sheni. Do you see those words? Ella in Cain, Omar af b'sheni. And then he says, again, so what? So there's no Amira al Hashemi. So who cares if there's no Amira after Hashemi? After all, Kol Os al Das Rishonu. So why do I need an Amira al Hashemi? Says Rashi, B'chol Masheva de Kodshim, Motzi mi Peru. So is Rashi saying that for the Rabbanan or even for Rabbi Meir? So again, Yechiel, I'm going to come around to what you're saying, but I just for pedagogical purposes, I just want to say that it seems that the machlokas here, according to Rashi, between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, is whether or not you need Amir B'Kodshim. Again, I'm gonna retract this later, so don't get nervous about it. But right now, at Basheru Sham, and I'm going to tell you why I think this is very difficult, but Rashi seems to be saying that if you want to understand the Rabbanon, why the Rabbanon are unwilling to apply the principle of Aldas Rishonu Os, it's because we're lacking in Amira. V'chol machshava dekodshim motzi v'pehu. But again, before we get back to Rabbi Meir, let's just focus for a moment on the Chachamim. So the Chachamim require Amira, and Pigel is only Michal with what? With an Amira, and he only had the Amira at the time of the Komets and not at the time of the Levona, and therefore we cannot apply the principle of Kola Osel Das Aldas Rishona Hu Osa. So why does the halacha shift over here because of the Amira element? Meaning, if not for the introduction of Amira into this whole mechanics, then leaving out Amira, it seems from Rashi that Rabbi Meir has the upper hand, and even the Chachamim could agree that there's nothing fundamental that bothers the Rabbanon, according to Rashi, about Kola Osal Das Rishona Mosa. If we were only in the realm of what? Of Das. If it was just Machshava, and you didn't require an Amira of a Motzi Mipiv, then the Rabbanon could... So what veers the Rabbanon off the path of Rabbi Meir of Kola Osal Das Rishona Mosa? It's the fact that you need what? You need an Amira. And Machshava is not enough.
For each other.
Correct, and once you need an Amira, then the Amira has to take you from the beginning until the end, correct?
And you can't assume that when it says Machshava, it means Amira.
So correct, in other words, Machshava is not alone, according to the Chachamim, it's not enough, according to the Chachamim, you need Machshava plus what? Plus Amira, and there was only Amira at the time of Levona, or whatever it was, Kometz, it doesn't matter what the beginning of the end was. Yeah.
No, what I mean is, once they made the principle and said, you know, Kol Machshava is Amira, requires Amira. And maybe they don't have to say Amira every time. If then it says Machshava, we assume it means Amira because they just gave you the principle to tell you that.
Correct. But again, the point that Rashi is making here is that when you talk about Machshava's Pigel, according to at least the Chachamim Rabbi Meir, we're not sure yet about Rabbi Meir, then you're talking about not Machshava alone, that doesn't generate Pigel, but you need also Amira. And then Nafkamina is going to be whether you could apply the principle of Kol Osal Das Rishona Osa. If you need an Amira, then you only had the Amira at the initial beginning of the Haktara, and that's not enough because you didn't have an Amira at the Sof Haktara, notice the second Matir, because you need Amira in order to generate Pigel, you didn't have that Amira.
That's the Chachamim.
And that's the Chachamim. And that's why the Chachamim object to applying the principle called Osal Das Rishonu Osa. That's what Rashi says. And you get the impression that according to Rashi, Eino Chinami, if we were only talking about Machshava, then Rabbi Meir would assume kol ha'osa al das rishono ose, and the Chacham could agree with that. The Chacham would not reject that if we were only limited to the world of what? Of machshava. So let's just try to figure out, if we can, how Rashi understands this machlokas, and specifically how he understands the shita of the Chachamim, that since Pigul requires Amira, therefore we don't apply this principle called Osal Das Rishonu Osa. On one level, we could have suggested that Rabbi Meir's principle is a psychological principle. Meaning, when a person begins with a certain machshava, then we can assume it's kind of like what I call an umdana. Do you follow it by an umdana? You know, when you evaluate a person's thinking process, or what we call circumstantial evidence, we have a concept called an umdana. Sometimes we have to fill in the blanks, like here we have a shtika, he was quiet, he was silent at the end of his avoda, and we want to guess what was he thinking at the end of the avoda. And we're doing like an analysis of his subconscious mind. And if that be the case, then Rabbi Meir's principle is that we can assume that if he started with a certain machshava, he's going to finish with a certain machshava. Now, I find that a little bit difficult for two reasons. First of all, I'm uncomfortable because to say that, you know, we enter into the world of psychology with all these assumptions, I don't know, I'm not so thrilled about that. You know, maybe he had no machshav at all in mind when he got to the last part of his avod, when he got to the second matir. Do we have to assume that his machshava continued? And secondly, I'm bothered by this for another reason. Because if Rabbi Meir is built on some sort of a psychological assumption on our part that he had the same machshav at the end, then comes along the Chachamim and they're going to argue with that psychology. So it could be that Rashi is trying to avoid that. You know, Rashi doesn't want to say that the Chachamim would disagree with the psychology. On the contrary, Rashi would insist that even the Chachamim would be modeh that if the psul of Pigul is totally in machshava alone, then even the Chachamim would accept the principle of kol ha'osal das rishono hu oseh, which means that we can assume he had the same machshava, you know, chutz l'zmano, at the end of his matir as he did at the beginning of his matir. But therefore Rashi is forced to introduce a new element into the equation, namely what? Amira. So, you know, we could have all the assumptions in the world about the psychology and what the man is thinking. He started with a certain machshava chutzuzmano. He probably continued with that machshava chutzuzmano. And therefore Rashi is forced to introduce the element of amira. Okay, you had a machshava, and the Chachamim maybe would agree to that machshava, but the problem is that kol machshavas kachim has to be motzi mipiv dami. And if there's no motzi mipiv dami, there's nothing here to engender a pigul. So that could have been one possibility, but I'm still left with the following problem, that if Rabbi Meir is based on psychology, then what are you telling me? You're telling me that there's a machsheves pigul here at the time of the shtika. In other words, he didn't indicate in any shape or form that he had in mind that the second matir should be chutz l'zmano. But yet there's going to be pigul here. Now, if kachim was built on a positive requirement of machshava, then maybe you could assume that, you know, maybe he had that machshava. You know, he started with that machshava. Let's say, for example, again, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but let's say, for example, you need lishma in kachim, right? So you would say that if he started with the machsheves lishma of ola l'shem ola, then we can assume yesh l'aniach, we're very comfortable with the assumption that he finished all the avodos with that same machsheva of l'shem ola. That would be a very interesting possibility. However, I would suggest the following, that the psychological approach could make sense if there's no need for a positive machshava. Take, for example, in the case of Lishma, and we had long discussions about this for anybody who remembers, is there a positive machshava required in order to be machshir the karmon?
It's a lack of negative.
Correct, a lack of a negative. And we said it over and over again in the din of stone lishma. So if you talk about the lack of a negative, then I can certainly sign on, and I'm very happy to jump on board and say, well, if he started with a certain machshava, and that machshava was l'shem ola, then he completed that machshava l'shem ola. Meaning, in the absence of, if you're looking for the absence of a machshava haposeles, then I could certainly assume that there's no machshava poselis, because the burden of proof would be on you to prove to me that all of a sudden he changed his mind and he decided, no, I don't want to shecht this for an ola, I want to shecht it for what? For a shlom. Why would you make that assumption? He started with a machshava l'shem ola. I could assume that he'll continue with that machshava, and that's okay. However, here's what bothers me. When it gets to pigul, pigul is a whole different kind of halacha. Pigul is not like a halacha of lishma, where I don't need a machshavas lishma, I just have to make sure that he doesn't have a negative machshava shalom lishma. Pigul requires a negative machshava. In other words, what you have to do is you have to generate pigul in this karban. So to say that I can generate this pigul in karban because I have some sort of a psychological assumption that mistama, he didn't change his mind, if I don't know otherwise, that's not a positive machshava. That can't be a machshava poselis. In other words, to say to let me backtrack. If Rashi is telling me that the machlokes between Chachomim and Rabbi Meir revolves around whether you need a dibur or not, and the Chachomim are the only ones who introduce a dibur, which means that Rabbi Meir doesn't require a dibur, if that's what Rashi is saying, then I find it very difficult to accept Rabbi Meir and say Al Das or Rishonu Rosh, which Rashi is always close to assuming that even the Chachomim would assume Al Das or Rishonu Rosh. Al Das Rishonu Rosh makes no sense when you need a machshava to generate a chalos, when you need to create, in this case, a pigel. You want to create pigel with a machshava of what? Chutz l'zmano. You need that machshava of chutz l'zmano. He can't tell me in some sort of psychological, subconscious part of his psyche, he has in mind shalom l'shma. I mean, say, chutz l'zmano, and that's going to generate pigul. What machshav is there to generate pigul? I need, again, you know, it's a little difficult to talk about a positive machshav when you're talking about pigul, because, you know, we're talking about, chutz l'zmano is you know, if I asked you if chutz l'zmano is a positive machshava or a negative machshava, you'd probably wake up in the middle of the night and say it's a negative machshava, right? Because it's a machshava poselis. But what I mean by a positive machshava is I mean to say that the korban is kosher unless you engender, you create a chaloshem psul pigel. To create a psul pigel, you need a machshava in a positive sense, which is what? Which is chutz l'zmano. So again, in the case of shalom l'shma, I'm willing to play all the games, you know, of psychology with you, and I'm willing to say that if he started with machshavas l'shma, then I can shots up, I can estimate his the umdum is machshava, and he had a machshava l'shma straight throughout, because in that case, I don't really need a machshava at all. I don't need a l'shma. Stoma is l'shma, so that's fine. And therefore, you can argue about umdanas and psychological assumptions and what he has in his subconscious mind. And he started with lishma, he continues lishma. That's fine. But in the case of pigul, where you need a machshava poselis, you need a machshava dafka that it should be chutz l'zmano. When he got to the levono, let's say in that case, he was shosek. And now you're going to tell me, well, yeah, he probably had in mind. You probably had in mind a hint and a hair. That's not going to help you. You need a machshava hamafagelis. And he didn't have a machshava hamafagelis. And Reish Lakish assumes that even according to Rabbi Meir, ain pigul dechatzi matir. So you need a machshava hamafagelis, not only the first matir, the second matir. And therefore, Rabosa, I'm going to submit to you the following proposition. Again, there's no forcing here, no compulsion. That Rashi agrees that even according to Rabbi Meir, There's no question that you need an amira, that pigul requires an amira. And therefore, since pigul requires an amira, Rashi says that the Chachamim Shita is that, where's the amira over here? Which, more or less, I would have said even without the requirement of an amira. And we have to understand Rabbi Meir's Shita, but I'm just saying, in terms of Rashi shedding a light on the Chachamim Shita, what Rashi is saying is that all the psychology in the world and all the assumptions you're going to make about what's going through his mind, that's not enough to generate a new status in the carbon called what? Called Pigel, with an Issa Kari Spachi Losa. Therefore, Rashi says that in Kachim, Machshava is too flimsy, it's unreliable, it cannot change the nature of the carbon in such a transformation that now something which a minute ago was Kodesh, it was Kachim, it was a Mitzvah Sachila, now all of a sudden it becomes Pigel with an Issa Kares to go from that extreme to the other extreme just because of what? Some sort of flighty Machshava that crossed through the mind, passed through the mind of the Kohen. That's impossible. Therefore, Kachim requires some sort of objective power or force that's going to change and transform the carbon from something that was Kachim to something that's now what? Pigel. For that I need an Amira. I need a declaration. And it could be that even Rabbi Meir is going to agree that you need a declaration. But Rabbi Meir holds that somehow the Amira at the beginning of the Avodah somehow is chal vis-a-vis the entire Avodah, meaning from Levona to Kometz or Kometz to Levona, Vitzarchi and Godel. And right now I'm going to leave Rabbi Meir with Vitzarchi and Godel. Again, if you want to assume that Rashi is implying that Rabbi Meir holds all you need is Machshava and there's no din of Amira, and somehow magically through Machshava, through Torah Samachshava, you can transform this carbon into Pigel, which again, that's not what I'm willing to say, but if you're willing to go with that, it's Kalakov, you know, Tavalecha Bracha. And then you could say, well, if the laws of Kachim can recognize a Machsheves Pigel to generate Pigel just because he had that psychological state of mind, namely Chutz Lizmano, and that's going to change and transform the whole nature of the government, then okay, Mechatesi, then Rav Meir is saying a psychological principle, and Rav Meir is saying that Kol Os Al Das Rishonu Os, if he started with a certain Das, then let's assume he continued with that Das. And that Das is enough in and of itself, a Machshava without a Dibur, to create a new soul of Pigel. If, on the other hand, Rashi is telling you here that Kol Machsheves, let's read it again, Kol Machsheves Kodshim Motzi Mipivu, and Rashi is saying that even according to the Chachamim, then on the one hand I'm excited about, I'm sorry, even according to Rabbi Meir, then on the one hand I'm very excited about that, if you'll grant me that literary license, because then even Rabbi Meir understands that you can't just create Pigel with a Machshava. That's not going to, you know, a thought that crosses the mind of the Kohen, with all due respect, is not going to transform the nature of the carbon from a carbon kosher with a mitzvah sachila and aktaras imurim and all that comes with kaparit ritzi, and now all of a sudden becomes an isa karis of Pigel. You need some sort of objectification, and that's a deep word. Even Rabbi Meir has to go on board. But then I have to admit to you that I still have a problem with Rabbi Meir, because where was the Amira that he needs for the second Matir and Ein Pigel B'chatzi Matir? But at least what I gain here is an insight into the Shitas Chachamim. And basically what the Chachamim are arguing here is that in order to create Pigel, I need some sort of positive force to create Pigel, and that positive force is going to have to be Chal on both Matirim, and the vehicle for that positive force is the Amira. And the Amira itself is going to generate Pigel. In fact, you cannot say, this would have been beautiful if we could say that there's a Maisa here that creates Pigel, but that's not enough, because what Maisa are we talking about here? Shchita. Right? The Maisa was a Maisa Shchita. And he didn't have a machshava of Chutz Lizmano in the Shechita, that's for sure. I mean, he's doing the Shechita right now, that's not Chutz Lizmano. He's having a machshava of Chutz Lizmano on what? On the Haktara, or whether it's the Haktara the Levono, whether it's the Haktara the Kometz, and the Kometz is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach tomorrow, and not today. Right? So there's no maisa here that you could say is a maisa mafagilus a korban. Obviously, if he would go ahead and be mocked in the korban tomorrow, the korban is possible, because in the case of mincha, the entire korban consists of haktoris hakovitz valavona. So if he did that tomorrow, then that's there's nothing to talk about. But the problem is that he had a machshava. Comes along Rashi and he says, but the machshava has to be supported by what? By an amir. Just one second. Just let me see if I'm up to questions. I don't know if I'm up to questions yet, because I have to just let these thoughts just settle in my mind. Oh. So here we have a briskerov. If you turn to, okay, I have to tell you because I have a different pagination than you, to Siman Chaf. In the Nefesh Tova, Chaf, Siman Chaf, but what you're looking for is a paragraph called Vehine, which in my printing is the third paragraph. Do you have such a thing? Just tell me what page it's on, because I have page Chaf Beis. Oh, it is on Chaf Beis.
Yeah.
Okay, I looked out. That was purely coincidental. And if you take a look, he says the following. Three lines up, before he ends this paragraph, he says, Nimtza, Nimtza, do you have the word Nimtza? He says, Nimtza de Nechleku Rabbi Meir v'Chachomim. This is his summary of Rashi on Daf Mem Aleph on the days. Behagufa, on this point itself, the Rabbi Meir Svirle, the Sagi b'machshava, ulahachi amrinin ha'osal das rishono osa. Now Rashi says explicitly, as far as chachamim, lo sagi b'machshava, you need what? You need amira, you need otzas peh. So I'm just hoping, this is what I'm praying for, is that the brisker rav in the next paragraph is going to take us on a different direction. Because at this point, the Nefesh Tova has not been so good to my Nefesh, because he's assuming that according to Rabbi Meir, you can generate Pigu with Machshav Allah. And Rabbi Meir denies the whole requirement of Amira. And by the way, the requirement of Amira is not just written here in this one Rashi, it's all over the place. There are so many riots that you need an Amira, but just logically you need an Amira, because what's going to impact on the Karban and transform it some sort of Machshava? So let's just see the brisker Rav here. He says the following. Hach dina dechola osal das rishonu osal. He says, ein abir, you should not understand it, the mistoma. I'm reading the sof maisa nasa bi osa kavana kmot chilosal. Now I think that the word mistama, and please disagree with me if you will, but I think that the word mistama here on line 3 of the paragraph ubir should be translated as psychology. What he means by mistama, that when we want to analyze what is his kavana, we're going to apply the principle of Ha'os al-Das Rishonu principle as a mistama. You see, Rabosai, that we did with regard to Lishma and Shalom Lishma. There we spoke about mistama Lishma. The Gemara talks about mistama Lishma. But to say that in Pigur, we're going to apply the principle of mistama Lishma, even according to Rabbi Meir, again, Rabbi Meir is one of the great Chachamim, I don't have to tell you, that's impossible. And he doesn't spell out why, but I think what he means to say is that Hilchas Mistama could not possibly generate a psul of Pigul. To create Pigul, you need a lot more than just Mistama. So what is Rabbi Meir saying? Ella Biuro Shem Hiskel Lasos Lishma. Okay, now he's talking about Lishma. I'm not sure why. Memela Daimina Le Dechala Maisa Shem Nasa Lishma. Okay, that's in the case of Lishma. So for example, he shechted the korban L'shem Ola, it was an Ola L'shem Ola. Now he has three more avodos. Let's assume that Kol HaSiyah Nimsheches Achra Kavan Rishona. What does he mean by Kol HaSiyah? Kabbal Saddam, and Allah Saddam, and Zrika Saddam, all the Maisim, which require a Kavanah Lishma, were done with the same Lishma that he started with. But that's only because in Kachin, this Allah of what? Mistabal Lishma. And Mistabal Lishma tells me that the Maisa has the Kavanah that's necessary. So in other words, in terms of the three Avodos, past Shechita, what we're talking about is a Maisa that's Maksha the Karmon, that Avodah is Maksha the Karmon. But we need what? We need some sort of Lishma. So for that, we can apply the principle of Mistama. And that's called Os Al Das Rishonos. So if he had the Kavan of Lishma in the first of the four Avodos at the time of Shechita, that's fine. And Rebbe would say that's okay. The Oz Amrinon, the Imhiskil, I'm sorry, I skipped a one. Ulam, Kol Zehu B'Dovra Toli B'Kavanah She'Ba'Asiya. Let's take, for example, the case of writing a get. So you have to write the get, and you need kavanah of lishma. That's called kavanah sheba'asiyah in the language of the Briskara. I have to write a sefer Torah, and I had the requirement of kavanah l'shem kedusha sefer Torah in the asiyah of the writing of the get. Oz amrinan in Hizkiel b'kavanah choshev shenasa kol ha'maisa ve'osa kavanah. The Shaykh Kavanah be Etzem HaMaisa. The Kavanah is a Tnai in the Maisa. So the Maisa can generate whatever you need. In the case of Arba Avodas, it means the Heksha HaKarbon. In the case of Ksiva Saget, it's the Ksiva. In the case of Sefer Torah, it's the Ksiva. But we need a Kavanah in the Maisa. So if you need a Kavanah in the Maisa, then we can apply the principle of Kol Ha'Osa Al Das Rishono. So that if he started the Maisa with a Kavanah, then the Maisa... It's almost as if the Kavanah attaches itself to the beginning of the Maisa, and then it flies with the Maisa from beginning to end.
But he's saying that he extends to multiple Maisas. Like, see, this get is only one Maisa, but by three others.
Right, so I guess he's saying that all four Asiyah somehow integrate into one Asiyah. That's Yechiel's point. Oh. Ach bepigel, says the Brisker Rav, this kind of understanding that kol ha'os al das rishono osa should apply to pigul v'chadome shehu chalos bifnei atzma shel psul machshava. Now we're talking about not a maisa, again, whatever maisa he had to do, he did, but the problem is that he wants to now have a machshava mafageles. What's going to generate the pigul is the machshava alone. As far as the mice is concerned, Adarava, this mice is antithetical to pigul. It's a mice on machshir. But Narvas, where's the generator of pigul? It's going to be the machshava. Says the Brisker Rav, if the machshava generates the pigul, hasam lo shayach lomar she sofa mice migra achat chiloso. In other words, if the Kavanah is attaching itself to the Maisa, then all I need is that the Kavanah do so at the beginning of the Maisa, then the Maisa has the Kavanah already built into it, even for the balance of the Maisa. But if we're talking about a Machshava, and if the entire Chalos is generated by a Machshava without a Maisa, and again, as I point out, Adarav, in terms of the Maisa, the Maisa is a Maisa of a Hechsher, but it's a Machshava Poselis. He says, "Be'inan machshava chiyuvit." You need a positive machshava. Again, he's using the word positive machshava to describe pigul. Like, I'm very excited about that. Lasos is a psul to generate the psul. Again, I don't see an explanation here, Rabbi Meir. Maybe somebody could enlighten me on this. But at least I begin to see an explanation for the chachamim that the chachamim are going to reject the principle called os al das. If you want to generate pigul, you need a machshavas pigul, not just at the beginning of the avodah, but also at the end of the avodah. Is lekachat los psul al chelik zevel ochoshim shenasa sofa shal avodah bepigul. Now again, Rabosai, you know, anyone could argue with the Brisker Rav. It's very easy, I think, in this case to argue with the Brisker Rav about his premise. You know, his very fundamental premise is that pigul is fundamentally different than everything else that we've encountered. Wherever we encountered the principle of kol ha'os al das rishono oseh, that's because we're dealing with asiyah, and machshava the kavanah is only kavanah in the asiyah. Then you could apply the principle of al das rishono oseh because he started the machshava with that. And he started the maisa with that. But, however, in the case of Pigul, the premise of the Brisker Rav is that Pigul is not a Maisa. Pigul is purely what? A Machshava. In other words, you have to create Pigul through a Machshava. If you have to create Pigul through a Machshava, it's not enough to talk about, well, B'tchila he had a Machshava. We need a positive Machshava that keeps regenerating itself. It's Macharish B'chol Yom Tovid Maisa Gracious. And therefore, if he dropped the ball on that Machshava, we're not going to be able to passel the carbon. How do we fit that into Rashi? Rashi speaks about what?
Dibur.
According to the Brisker Rav, forget about Dibur. Rashi doesn't have to mention Dibur. If Rashi wants to explain the Chachomim Shita and undermine the principle of Kolos Al Das Rishonos in its application to Pigul, he just simply should have said that Pigul requires a Machshava Poselis, both in Chiyuvi. And therefore, there's no Maisa to talk about. And if there's no Maisa to talk about, then where's the Machshava? And ain't Pigul Bechatzi Maktis. He didn't have Machshava in the rest of the Maktis. So he says, Al Pizeh Bir, the Kavonas Rashi, he lochiach mihod be'inon divur le Pigul. Rashi is not saying that the reason why the Chachamim reject Kola'os Al Das Rishonos in Pigul is because of the halacha of Dibur, the requirement of Amira. No! The requirement of Amira is a Simon Ledover, not a Sibol Ledover. It's like a handle that allows you to pick up the kli. That the very fact that the Torah requires Dibur for Pigul certainly should prove to us that Havi Chalos Din Machsheves Psul, that it's not enough to say that, well, he started with a certain machshava, he'll probably continue with that that machshava. That's not sufficient. But rather, we need an ongoing machshava chiyuvis in order to generate the psul of pigul. Is lakach svirle til rabbanon dekol shalochashav machsheves psul besofa lo pigul. That what the rabbanon are really saying is that you need a machsheves psul in the second matir, and in the case of shtika, you don't have a machsheves psul in the second matir. You might have some sort of psychological assumption that he probably continued with that machshava, but that doesn't create a machshava chiyuvis. You need a positive, actual machshava. And the way that the Rabbanan prove that is by quoting the Halach of Amira. That's what Rashi is introducing into the equation. But if you ask the Chachamim L'maisa, why is there no Pigul here? The answer is because you don't have a Machshava Chiyuvis based on Kol Ha'osa Al Das Rishono Ha'osa. B'nimtza Mevur B'divrei Rashi D'lo Shaych Lomer D'Be'inon Dafka Dibur Ela Inema the din pigul mishum chalos psul machshava, right? The ofen chiyuvi. V'zeu achil be machshavas pigul leheichad v'inan rak shetehe asiyoso lishma. So pigul as opposed to lishma. In the case of pigul, it's just, I'm sorry, in the case of lishma, it's just an add-on to what? To the asiyo. If it's an add-on to the asiyo, then it's a machshavas hamaisa, a kavanas hamaisa, Hasam there in the case of Lishma Sagi b'machshava. Notice if you have a machshava tchilas asiyoso and he started with l'shem Ola in an Ola, then we can apply the principle of Rabbi Meir, and even the Chacham would agree to Rabbi Meir. Why? Because I don't have to have a machshava chiyuvis in order to generate the hechshar korban. I just have to have a machshava in order to set up the asiya as an asiya which generates the hechshar korban. Masha Enkin and Pigul is purely machshava. The machshava as a positive machshava is of shalom of chutz zmano is going to generate the pigul. For that, I need what? I need and again the dibur is just a proof to it. But I need a machshava chiyuvis, and a machshava chiyuvis can never be supplied by some sort of an assumption on our part that he probably has that machshava. No, you need an actual machshava. So we're not going to do a Freudian analysis of what he's thinking in his subconscious mind, and we're before subconscious minds here, and subconscious thinking is not enough to create a machshava chiyuvis, a machshava poselas in pigul, to create this new transformation of the karbon to that of pigul. For that you need a positive machshava, not some sort of subconscious machshava. And the proof of it is, Rashi says, then you require Dibur. So let's just read the language one more time. He says, Kevan, the Vitoris Mashava Postelis, Lakach, Kosholokhishe Mashava, Bisofa, this Mashava Postelis, then Lopigil. And Nimsa, Mavur, Bidivir Rashi, the Loshach, Lomar, the Beino Dafka Dibur, why do you need Dibur? Notice, if let's say, for example, the Torah would be Machshir, in the case of Lishma, even Mistama Lishma, correct? So let's say, for example, he started, the coin started the first Avodah with the Machshava of L'shem Ol. Do we need a Dibur in the rest of, in, or even in the first Avodah, or in the balance of the Avodah? Says he has to declare out loud, I'm doing this L'shem Olah? He doesn't have to declare that. Why? Because here the Torah accepts a passive Machshava that attaches itself to the Asiya itself, and therefore no Dibur is necessary. But in the case of Pigul, we're going to require Dibur, and the reason for that is because this passive kind of assumption on our part that he has such a Machshava to be Mefagel the Kavuchutz is not enough to generate a Psul of Pigul. For that you need a Machshava Chiyuvis, and a Machshava Chiyuvis can be clinched with Dibur. Dibur itself is the flagstaff that proves that he has to have a machshava chiyuvis. That's what I think the Brisker Rebbe is saying. What I'm left with is, and this still perplexes my mind, where does Rebbeim fit into this? You know, you did such a great job in explaining the Chacholim Shita, and they prove their point by requiring Dibur. Where does Rebbeim fit into this position? Does Rebbeim not require Dibur? And that's what he said originally at the end of the paragraph that starts Vehine, the Baze Gufa Pligi Rabbi Meir, this really the Sagi B'Machshav. You know, he's done such a good job. I'm already on board here. He's convinced me. You know, I'm already converted, so to speak. He's preached and I'm converted to the position that Machshav alone could not tassel in people because I need a Machshav Chiyuvis. And what are you going to tell me that Rabbi Meir requires Amira? And I'm going to say that that's what Rashi has in mind. That when he says Kol Kodshim is the motzi mitiv dami, he's referring even to Rabbi Meir. No, if that be the case, where's the Amira at the second matir? And Rabbi Meir says it's Pigul. Ella, what? You're going to have to fall back on his original position that Rabbi Meir holds Machshav alone is enough. But even so, the Chachamim would disagree with the Chachamim. The Dibur element is only a proof, or shall I say, an indicator. But even in Torah's Machshava, he says you need a Machshava Chiyuvis. So basically, it comes out if we would like to sort of universalize this limud to apply all of the Shas, I would say the following: whenever the Machshava operates with a Maisa, in other words, it's a Tanai that the Maisa has to be done with a certain Machshava, then even the Chachamim could agree that Kol Ha'osal Das Rishon, the Maisa, we attach the Kavanah to the Tchilas Maisa, and that's enough. However, when the Torah requires Machshava, and any Chalos that's going to be generated is generated by the Machshava, here, it's possible that even Rabbi Meir should agree that we will not assume that Kol Ha'osal Das Rishon Hu Osa. So, for example, Rabbi Moshe, what would you say based on what we learned until now in the case of Tmura? In Tmura, what creates the Kedushas HaKarbon in Tmura? Right, the Torah says that he violates a lav, but he does generate the Chalos Kedusha. I don't know. Here, I could say one of two ways. I could say, well, he needs to declare it, or maybe the Machshav itself generates the Tmura. But if the Machshava generates the Tmura alone, because he wasn't Makdish the Karbon, he just said, Arezu Tmura Zu, then maybe the Chachamim would say that you don't need an Amir in that case. Or maybe the Machshava alone would generate Tmura. I don't know. But obviously, Tmura requires an Amira, so that's not going to be a good case. Let's think if we can come up with a good case. What about Tfila? What is Tfila? Is it the Maisa Tfila? Is it the Machshava? What is it? So if you're going to say that tefillah is a maisa tefillah and the hotzav piv, you know, you can't have a machshava, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that maybe if you're a chol and you can't stand up for Shmoneh Esrei, so you can just think about the tefillahs, and that's enough. But no, we need a maisa tefillah. Then you could say, well, maybe the machshava of Omeg lefnei hashchina, that kavanah lishma would be sufficient at the beginning of his tefillah. You see, Rav Chaim holds that the machshava has to take you from the beginning of the tefillah to the end of the tefillah. What it says in the Gemara, daf lam dalet, that it's enough to have lishma at the time of avos. That's only as far as the kavanah b'pirush hamilas is concerned. But as far as the real basic kavanah that generates a ma'aseh tefillah of omeg lefnei hashchina, Rav Chaim says you need that from the beginning to the end. There's no such thing as called osal das rishonu osa, meaning that might be an example on a deraisa level at least, where everything is totally in the machshava, and if everything begins with the machshava and ends with the machshava, I need the machshava from the beginning to the end, and I can't start making these kinds of psychological assumptions that called osal das rishonu osa, which is a pretty heavy requirement when you think about it, because it means from the beginning of the tefillah to the end of the tefillah, you have to have a conscious awareness of the fact that you're omeg lefnei hashchina. The Chazon Ish, for example, was very upset about this Reb Chaim. You know, who he has a Gemara about no one's free of Iyun Tefillah, which he interprets Iyun Tefillah meaning that you're distracted during your Tefillah. Everyone has Machshavas in the middle. So how can you, is it humanly possible, not Malachi Asharis, to require that we have Machshava from beginning to the end, that I'm Omeg Lefnei Hashchina? And the Chazon Ish comes up with a new theory that since I'm talking to God, it must be that I'm aware of the fact that I'm in front of the Shechina. Well, you and I know that that's not so, because you can talk to people in your sleep as well, and that's probably what we most of us do during that tefillah. Now, at this point, he introduced another sugya. Alan, you wanted to say something here? If everyone at Mitan could turn to another sugya here, which is on Daf Mem Gimel. On Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. So going backwards here. Go ahead.
What I'm thinking is that Rav Meir's Habamina from which he holds is that it's not so simple to separate Amira from Machshava, because even when you have Amira in the as soon as you finish the letters, the words come up past your lips, everything beyond that is Machshava based upon that Amira. So there's always a Machshava in there. You cannot be constantly without a break at all, verbalizing the machshava that you have.
So again, does Rav Meir agree that you need an amira?
Yeah, he needs an amira. Right. He's saying, but once you
so
have
where, it, where do you where do you generate the amira? Yeshmei.
So you need an amira in order to start the process, so to speak, at the beginning of anything. Once you do that, the machshava can.
So even though it's amira was only on kovetz and not on levona, then
that's right. Because even though it's two separate acts that he's doing, but he has the same amira, the same machshava that's going throughout the both of them.
So it's not that Rav Meir is saying that you take his machshava at the beginning and you attach to his end.
That's right.
He's taking the amira from his beginning and
attach. That's right, exactly.
All right, if you're comfortable with that, that's good. I mean, I personally. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Rav Meir, but in this case,
But there's the other nakuda there about Pigel. Now, when it comes to Pigel, it's a different mice here because when you're talking about about lishma and not lishma, then if you're having a blank, there's only three possibilities: you either have lishma, you have a blank, or you have a low lishma. In a case of lishma. And then you assume when you have a blank that the lishma is continuing because there is a requirement of lishma. But when you're talking about pigel, what you're doing is you're upsetting the apple cart, because there's no requirement to have a machshava that it's lismana. It's bismana. It's just you're going to do it bismana. That's the way the whole thing is done.
Right. So people only because he has a machshava.
So you need the shalom bismana that you need something like people that you don't need by
generate a machshava of chutz lismana when there was no such a machshava based on kolos al das rishonos. That's a difficult position.
Right.
Okay. What do we have here on daf lamed aleph amud aleph? Take a look. If you will, in the middle of the Amud, you'll see something that says the following. He had the Tani Bar Kapora, I think it's approximately 15 lines up from the top. I mean, that's just a very rough estimate. He says the following. Just one second. Actually, we don't need that. Now let's pick it up from the following Mishnah. Count up, if you will, 10 lines up from the bottom of the Omer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines, 10 lines up from the bottom of the Omer. The first one is on the line of the Chi table. You have that? Are we together?
Yeah.
Okay. Chatnan, Lechol, this is a Machsheves Pigul. Lechol Chatzi Zayis, he has a Machsheva that he's going to eat half of a Zayis. Tomorrow, Ulahakir Chatzi Zayis, and he has in mind that he's going to burn on the Mizbeach a half a Zayis of Imurim tomorrow, Kosher. Why the Mishnah says she'ein achila v'aktora mitztarfin, that these are two separate machshavos. You need a shear of kizayis for chutz l'zmano, and you don't combine the achilas chatzizayis of Adam with the achilas chatzizayis of mizbeach. And the Gemara now makes the following qualification. When does this apply that there's no tziruf between the machshava of achila and the machshava of haktara? That's only the afke b'loshon achila. Hachinami hachmayeskinim, the afke b'loshon haktara. So when do we say it? Now again, this is going to be one of the proofs that the Rishonim are going to bring that pigul requires amir. And Gemara is saying the following, that what exactly did he declare? When it comes to the Chatzi Zayis of Haktorah, there were two possible words that he could have employed. He could have said that I'm going to be Machtir, right, Lamocha, I'm going to be Machtir Chatzi Zayis, or he could have said Achilas Mizbeach of Lamocha, of Chutz Lizman. So Gemara makes the following distinction. That if he was afke b'loshon haktara, if he said that the mizbeach will eat up, I shouldn't use the word eat up because that's going to be confusing. I'll use the word burn up, you know, for lack of a better word. If he's saying that the mizbeach will burn a half his eyes tomorrow, and I will eat, or the balakarba will eat half his eyes tomorrow, that separates the two, and there's no pigul. But if, on the other hand, he uses a lashon of achila instead of afke b'lashon haktara, it was afke b'lashon achila, is then hachinami, then enochinami, we would integrate the two. So again, in English translation, it loses a lot. But let's say he declared that the mizbeach would consume half a zayis and he will consume half a zayis, both lamacha. So since he used the same lashon, then we can integrate both the Chatzi Zayis of the Haktorah with the Chatzi Zayis of the Achila. But if instead he says the Mizbeach will, instead of saying will consume, he says the Mizbeach will burn half his Zayis, and I will consume, or he will consume a half his Zayis, those are two different Lashonis. Now, let's just think about this. I have a fascinating question to ask you. It almost borders on philosophical, but if there's no din of amira, according to those Rishonim, that pigul is chal b'machshava alone, then are we going to enter into his mindset, into his brain, and determine whether it's pigul or not, based on whether he thought v'loshen haktorah or he thought v'loshen achila? Does the Torah, does halacha recognize this? I'm talking halachic context. Does halacha validate a machshava b'lashon, meaning it's a machshava in this lashon or a machshava in another lashon? Some people think in lashonos, you know, they're very language savvy, so they think in words and in languages, right? It's like, you know, when you want to test a person whether his first language is this or that, see how he counts, you know. But when a person thinks machshavas, those machshavas are abstract. For example, in Kriyat Shema, we're gonna discuss whether if Kriyat Shema would be chal in machshava, which it's not. But let's say you don't need an amira or a kriya b'peh. All you need is machshava. So we're gonna say, well, what language did he think in? I don't know if the halacha cares about what language you're thinking. In other words, this sugya would seem to be a very good proof, and we should take the Gemara literally. The afke the lashon achila, when he spoke about haktorah, he actually verbalized the lashon achila. He said the achilas mizbeach should be tomorrow. And there's another case of afke belosh and haktorah. He didn't say the achilas mizbeach should be tomorrow, but rather the haktorah mizbeach should be tomorrow. And in such a case, he separates between the haktorah of chatzisayis and the achilah of chatzisayis. So the nefesh tova has a sheet of mekubetzes of all places. It's in Bav Metziah. And the Shita wants to quote this sugya in Shas to prove that we need a dibur in pigul. Why? Because he says the following. This is the Shita Mekubetzes. Ma shayach lechalek bein machashi b'loshen achila l'machashi b'loshen haktorah. So the Rosh Hashiva here quotes a famous Rashba. The Rashba is in Masechta Brachos on Daf Tes Vav, that b'dover desagi behirur, whenever hirur is sufficient, v'ein tzoch dibur, lo shayach shem lashon. We don't talk about whether he did lashon kodesh or shar lashonos. The whole discussion about lashon kodesh versus shar lashonos only applies in a requirement of dibur, but not in a requirement of hirur. V'im kein, therefore, since the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Aleph makes a distinction between a Lashon Haktorah and a Lashon Achila, Muchach, it must be that we require Dibur. Again, what is Rashi going to say back on Daf Mem Aleph in terms of Rabbi Meir? That I don't know. Now the Shita Mubetz has a Kasha. Fascinating Kasha. So let's take a look for a moment, so we'll be oriented here, on Daf Chavtes Amud Aleph. Okay, so we'll appreciate the Shita Mekubetzes. Chavtes on the page, sorry. So if you take a look right before the Gemara here, on Daf Chavtes on the days, there's a statement here of Rav Yanai. So Rav Yanai says the following. Let me just see if I can find it. Am I on the right page? Where is it? Before the Mishnah?
Before
the Mishnah. He says the following. Amar Rav Yanai, minayin lemechashev bekodshim shu loke. The Torah says lo yichashev, which is a law that enjoins a kohen from having a machsheves pigul. And Rav Yanai goes a step further and he says not only does he violate a lav, but he even gets malchus. I think we once discussed this. Does anybody remember this? I don't remember what day of the week it was. That's the problem. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Bari, how could this be? Rav Bari was the one who quoted this halach in the name of Rav Yanai. Lav shein bo maisa, hu v'chol lav shein bo maisa, and lokanol. If pigul is engendered by machshava, then we don't give malchus for an averis machshava. So many machshavas that many averis you can violate machshavas, but none of them generate malchus. Oh, Amalei, he says Rabbi Yehuda introduces this possibility that you could get malchus on a lav she'ein bo maisa lokin a lav. But if we reject Rabbi Yehuda and if we all like the chachamim, that lav she'ein bo maisa ein lokin alav, then Rav Yanai would make no sense. That's the maskot of the Gemara here, that Rav Yanai could not possibly postulate that you would get malchus for a machsheves pigul, because the rule of thumb, if we reject Rav Yehuda, is lav she'ein bo maisa ein lokin alav. So the Shita Mekubetzes is very unhappy about this. Why? Because the Gemara says at the beginning of Tmura, now again in my edition, this is the fifth line in the paragraph that starts Ubehemshech, and it goes over to page Chof Gimel, but probably that's not going to be the case for you. You're still on page Chof Beis? Yeah? Oh, you're also on Chof Gimel. So I don't know what happened here. Maybe at some point we caught up to you, or you caught up to us. I don't know. The Gemara says that in the case of Tmura, you get Malchus. So the Gemara asks, why would you get Malchus for Tmura? After all, it's only a dibur. He said, "Arezu tmurazu." So the Gemara answers, because the dibura misavit maisa. Like, for example, in the case of losatsam sharbadi, so you could either actually thresh or plow with the cow, or you could actually yell at the cow. And if you yell at the cow and it causes him to abstain, to be inhibited from eating something, that's called muzzling the cow bidibur. And the Gemara tells us that you get malchus for that. Why? Because bidiburo ka'avit maisa. And the same thing applies in the case of tmura. It's bidiburo ka'avit maisa. So the Shita Megubetzes says, I don't understand. In the case of pigul, all right, it's machshava, but bidiburo ka'avit maisa. I'm saying it's only dibur, I mean to say. But nevertheless, it's the dibura ka'asavid maisa, meaning that just like in the case of tmura, the dibur, since it changes the chalos and a behemas chulin is transformed into behemas kachim, that's called the dibura ka'asavid maisa. And for such a dibur, you get malchus. Then, if that be the case, then in the case of achsheves pigul, it's also the dibura ka'asavid maisa, because as a result of his declaration that he's of chutzus mano, the korban became what? Became pigul. And the Shita Megubetzes is so impressed with this question that he comes to the conclusion, against everything that we've been postulating, that machsheves pigul alone is enough to be mafagel the korban without any dibul. So what we saw in Rashi back on Daf Mem Aleph, and the assumption that we derived based on the sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph, that in Hilchos Machshava we don't distinguish between one lashon and the other. All these proofs are now undermined, so to speak, by one single proof, the Gemara Chavtes of Beis, which assumes, according to the understanding of the Shita Megubetzes, that there is no requirement of dibur for pigul, and that's why there's no way, no how, unless you accept Rabbi Yehuda, that you can get malchus for a machsheves pigul. It's pure machshava. The oz nicha kushas haGemara. Now I understand why the Gemara objects to Rav Yanai. It's impossible to give malchus for a machsheves pigul because there's no dibur. So when are we willing to say that we can upgrade a maisa to a chiyuv malchus? That's only if there was at least chacha dibur, and not only it was a dibur, it was the dibur kovid maisa, like the case of chasima bakol, or like the case of tmura. In those cases, we say that even if we reject Rabbi Yehuda, the dibur is kemaisa because we have a dibur v'kovid maisa. But says the Shita Megubetzes, our Gemara, which is addressing Masheves Pigul, there you don't need a dibur. If you don't need a dibur, it's pure maisa, and therefore, for sure, there's no malchus. He says v'tzorach im, but I have a problem. Mehecha nafka leilu Shita Megubetzes lechalik l'nyin dibur chsovid maisa v'machshav l'dibur kevish esov sov af I pigul chal v'machshav is nifsal akarban v'savid maisa. In other words, the Rosh Yeshiva here is very perplexed by this Shita Megubetzes. Even if I grant you that pigul is b'machshav alone without dibur, but nevertheless we can still apply the principle of dibur kovid maisa. In other words, you don't need dibur to kovid maisa. Call it b'machshav to kovid maisa. The point is that if your machshava changes something in this world, then that's considered a significant enough machshava that the Torah would recognize it as if it were a maisa. And if it impacts on the world, you should get malchus for that.
Why should you have a concept of the love shame of maisa? If it changed something, that should be the criteria. Now, whether there's a maisa or not.
Correct.
But there is a concept of the outside of dibur, just in general. You know, love shame of maisa.
Right. Love shame of maisa, aim lokin a love. Why? Because it's not dibur kovid maisa. He doesn't change anything in this world. So we can't give you malchus. So, for example, a person has a machshava
I'm speaking even without the word sheva taisa, and something happens as a result of my being passive. I change something by being passive, by not stopping what happened. But you wouldn't get malchus for that because of right. Sheva taisa. Why not? Something changed in the world.
Right.
The fact that I didn't do maisa changed.
Right. You see that? You see that? Kovid maisa also has certain basic requirements. It's not just that I was a cause of something, therefore I'm going to get malchus. In the case of Shevi Al Taseh, even though I was a Gorim, right, as a result of the fact that I didn't move away from where I was located, something terrible happened.
That doesn't mean I'm
going to get Malkus.
Or we learn from, Rav Shechter's book, his book, Sefer, Rav Soloveitchik, and explain the Mukhi Yosef's question, how I can like Shabbos candles on Fair right. Shabbos. He says, even if you want to say that the action is attributed to me on Shabbos, not like Isha Mishum Chetzir, that it goes back to when I did it, but it happens ongoing, Soloveitchik says, you can still like it Shabbos. And why? Because it's Lashem Ma'isa.
But
I'm changing the world. The candles are burning every second. Why can't that be attributed to me? I'm affecting that. So it should be. It doesn't matter whether there's a man or not. But the ma'aser does matter.
Right. So therefore, against the Shita Mekubetzes, we would say that if there's a requirement of, to protect and defend the Shita Mekubetzes, we could say that if I do some sort of an action, then the Torah says, Ka'avid Maisa, but if I do nothing at all, I'm totally passive, my body is not moving, and it's only my machshava that's moving, then we're not going to apply the principle of Ka'avid Maisa. The Rashi is assuming no, that even a machshava, if it accomplishes something and changes something, that machshava alone is considered enough for Malkus. And therefore he doesn't understand the Shita Mekubetzes. The Shita Mekubetzes, that's what Yechiel's pointing out, still ups the bar. It's not just that I was the cause of some sort of change in the universe. That's not enough to generate an ocean. We need something to hang to peg it on. At some point, I have to have been guilty of implementing a maisa, call it a dibur, but at least a dibur is something.
Generally, dibur is vavka maisa.
Oh, but if it's dibur kavid maisa, if the dibur, dibur is a half a maisa, right? So if you add one half to another half, if you have, one half and another half, you get a whole. That depends upon Akhtara and Amira, and Achila. But no, I'm saying like this, that when does the Shita Mekubetzes say that you can say the dibur kavid maisa if you start with dibur? But the reason why the Gemara can't tolerate the possibility that a Machshavas Pigur would engender Malkus is because that doesn't even have a Dibur. The Rosh Hashiva is saying, I don't care whether it's Dibur or not. Even if I have a Machshava, it's Kedibur as far as Ka'avid Mice, if the Machshava could create a Mice. But Yechiel's right. I mean, there's no just carte blanche to say Ka'avid Mice, so we're going to give him Malkus left, right, and center, because something that happened and something that changed in the universe was attributed to you. That we're not going to say. So therefore, maybe to up the ante, the minimum requirement of Kavod Maisa would be Dibur. And that's the Shita Mekubetzes. You could tolerate that. You could live with that. But Shiva wants to say, if you go as far as Dibur is concerned, then why not go one step further and even Machshava Kavod Maisa? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. I can't express an opinion on that. But in any event, this whole fascinating sugya about the Dibur Kavod Maisa, that's going to lead him to a discussion about a certain Reb Chaim in Tmura. So I don't know, I'm looking at my clock and we have, about 15 minutes left. So the question is, do we want to do this, or maybe I should use it? I have something else prepared. I'm just trying to, let me make a quick calculation here. You know what? I'm still reserving the right to come back to this Reb Chaim that he has, because it's very fascinating Reb Chaim. But if I only have 15 minutes, I would like to share with you something very interesting. And maybe it'll shed a light on what we did today. I'm not promising, but maybe. Now, what volume do you have? Do you have volume 2 as well?
No.
You don't have volume 2. All right, so this will be Torah Shema Peh.
All right, thanks. That's Gimel.
Okay, so if you want to make a note of it, at least it'll be in your notebook. Whatever that's worth.
That's a fun title.
Because my Chelik Beis is the same as your potential Chelik Beis. And it's in Simon Ayin. Okay? In Chelik Beis. And you can write down the page number, because Simon Ayin appears over and over again, because the way this book is written, every time he starts a new perek, He starts from Aleph again. So it's on page Tikne, you shall buy. Tuf Kuf Nun He, which might be a remnant that maybe you should buy Halik Beis. Tuf Kuf Nun He. Okay, I'll say it again. 555. Tuf Kuf Nun He. Okay? Now, Don, you may remember yesterday that we touched on a principle, it's a very, very fundamental principle in Kodshim, especially in the Sefer Zvachim, which is Rabbi Yitzchak's principle, and it's called Dam Nifsal B'Shkiya Sachar. Which means that if he shechted the carbon on a Sunday, we'll allow him to do the Zrika up until Shkiya Sachar of that day. After Shkiya Sachama, there's no possibility of doing Zrika on this dam. Okay. Now, the Brisker Rav has two possible definitions about how this works, and they're fundamentally different one from the other. So if you jot this down, possibility number one is called Lina. Lamed Yud Nun Hey. Now the classical Lina applies to a Murim that were left until the following morning past Amud HaShach. In the case of Dam, the Lina is generated by Shkiya Sachama. So there are two different time allowments, or shall we say there are two different expiration dates. The expiration date for Atos in Murim is Amud HaShach. Why? Because you can be marked in the room through the night, but not past Amud HaShach. That's called Lina. Now Lina apostles they murim, but there's still light at the end of the tunnel, because we have a principle called Ein Lina Barosh HaMizbeach. So if he already put it on the Mizbeach, then maybe we could somehow overlook the psul of Lina. But okay, that's not for us now. All I'm trying to say is that the Brisker Rav in his first definition of Dam Nifsal B'Shkiya Sachama says that the expiration date in the case of Dam is Shkiya Sachama. So Shkiya Sachama is to Dam as Tamur, as Amud HaShachar is to Haftarah Saimur. Or no? That's not what Rav Dimi has in mind. That's not what Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Dimi has in mind. There's no psul in the Dam. There's no such thing as Lina in the Dam. That's not what he has in mind. The din is that the Zrika has to take place on the same day as the Zvicha, as the Shechita. And Shkiya Sachama terminates one day and introduces another day. And therefore, if he does the Zrika past Shkiya Sachama, that's a Zrika psul. It has nothing to do with the Dam. It's not that there's a psul in the Chefta Shal Dam. It's a psul in the Avodas HaZrika. And he proves the second approach from reading Rabbi Yitzchak carefully. Because after Rabbi Yitzchak presents his thesis that Dam Nifsal B'Shkiya Sachama, he says the following: B'yom Shata Zoveach, on the day that you shech the karmon, Ata Makriv. Makriv means Zrika. Again, there's a lot of proofs now for us now that the word Makriv refers to Zrika. So that on the day that you do the Shechita, that's when you do the Zrika. This is a requirement, a restriction, a condition in Zrika. There are many conditions in Zrika. I can give you 50 conditions in Zrika. I can tell you that Zrika has to be done by a Kohen Kasher. I can tell you that Zrika has to be done on a certain part of the Mizbeach. It has to be above the Chutas, below the Chutas. I have Matan Dovim on 4 Kronos, on 2 Kronos, on 1 Kronos. I can go on and on. I can give you a list of how big Mashiach talking about how many different requirements there are in Zrika. One of the requirements in Zrika is that the Zrika be implemented on the same day as the Shechita. And therefore, after Shkiya Sachama, it's not a possibility of Zrika. And the Brisker Rav wants to suggest a tremendous nafkamina. What happens, asks the Brisker Rav, at the time of the Shechita, he has a machshava to be zorek the dam after Shkiya Sachama. Is that called chutz l'zmana or is it not called chutz l'zmana? If you accept my first definition, says the Brisker Rav, that just like in Aktaras Imurim, the zman for the Imurim is up to but not beyond Amud HaShachar, and therefore after Amud HaShachar, it becomes lina and is a psul in Imurim. And therefore, if he at the time of the Shechita he had in mind to be makted the Imurim L'machar after Amud HaShachar, when it became Lina, that's called Chutz Lizmano, and that's Machshavas Pigul, then the same logic should apply in the case of Zrika. If he has in mind at the time of the Shechita that he's going to be Zorik the Dam after, but here I don't need Lamachar, I don't have to wait until Amud HaShachar, because when is the Psul of Lina according to this definition in Dam? Shkiyas HaChama. So if he had in mind to be Zorik the Dam after Shkiyas HaChama, that itself is a Chutz Lizmano in Gender Pigel. But if I go with the second definition, and what does he think? He's thinking of a Psul in Zrika, it has something to do with the Dam. He's not going to feed the Dam that which the Dam finds repulsive. He's not going to feed the Mizbeach Dam which the Mizbeach finds repulsive, like in the case of a Psul in Lina. There's no Psul in the Dam. The Dam is kosher Lizrika, but the problem is he can't implement the Maisa Lizrika. If that be the case, if a man has a Machshava of at the time of the Shechita he's going to do an improper or an invalid Zrika, that's not called Pigel. In other words, again, it's not a din in Chutz Lizmano in the second definition. It's a din that you don't have a possibility of doing the Zrika. Let's say, for example, I'm just Lasavris Ozen, at the time of the Shechita he has a machshava that after he receives the Dam, he's going to give it to another Kohen to do the Zrika. It happens to be that Kohen is a Bal Mum. Is that called Machshavas Pigul? Chas v'sholem, that's not called Machshavas Pigul. Just because he has in mind at the time the Shechita he's going to do an improper Zrika, which is possible because of a Bal Mum, or it's possible in this case because it's not the Yom HaZvicha, because it's the day after the Shechita, that's called a Machshavah Mfageles. Says the Brisker Rav, you can only postulate a Machshavah Mfageles on Zrikas Adam, meaning Zrikas Adam after its time, Chutz Lizmano, if you assume that Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaCham is a psul in the Dam itself. And now you're giving to the Mizbeach something that passed its time. It's possible because the time passed. But if you go with the second definition, that there's nothing psul in the Dam. It's not a Chutz Lizmano that generates a psul in the Dam. It's a Din Zrika. Says the Brisker Rav, that would not engender Pigel. And I yelled and screamed about this yesterday for an hour, and nobody understood what I was saying. So maybe I have better luck today than I had yesterday. Does anybody have a clue of what I'm talking about? And the Brisker Rav has a proof from a Tosfos. Listen to this beautiful proof from a Tosfos. Tosfos asks the following question. We have a Mandiomar that holds that Lina Mo'elis Barosh Hashol Mizbeach, which means that Rosh Hashol Mizbeach is not going to salvage Lina. So even if the Emurim were placed on the Mizbeach, but he did Akhtorah the following day, meaning after Amud HaShachar, it's possible. Why? Because Lina Mo'elis, meaning the Psul of Lina, applies even Barosh Hashol Mizbeach. So we're going according to that Mandiyom. Fektosis Akasha. Lama likra, why does Rabbi Yitzchak need a pasuk to prove the dam nifsal b'shkiyas hachama? Habolayla e'efshal lizrok. Okay, this is interesting. We have a halacha that avodas hakarban has to take place when? Only by day and not by night. That's called biyom tzavoso. So memela, there's no way he could be zorik the dam at night. So what do you need a halacha of dam nifsal b'shkiyas hachama? Okay, let him do the zrika tomorrow with daybreak. Fractosis, I don't understand that it's possibly did Lina. Right? Ubiyom Limachras, Kvar Nifsal Adam Belina. In other words, Tosis is saying the following. You have a pasuk of Yitzhak to be makdim the psul of Dam, as opposed to, let's say, the Emurim, where the Emurim have to wait to be psul and become Lina until when? Amud HaShachar. Now you have a pasuk to teach you that it's going to be possible 12 hours earlier at Shkiyas HaCham. Who needs it, says Tosfos? What do you gain by this possible? It teaches you absolutely nothing. Because what are you going to do? You're going to do the Zrika after Shkiyas HaCham? You can't do the Zrika after Shkiyas HaCham. There's no Avodah after Shkiyas HaCham. The Mikdash is closed for business. El, what? You're going to wait till the next morning. Once you wait till the next morning, you have the Psul of Lina. Meaning, if you would say that, okay, you know, Lina, Enom O'Elis, meaning Barosh Hashol Mizbeach, you can unwind the Psul of Lina. Now I want to set up a Psul of Lina at the time of Shkiyas HaCham. That would be very relevant. But if you hold that there's no way, no how that you can be mashed any psul lino, because Rosh Hashanah Mishpeach does not have the power to what? To be mashed. So then, what are you going to do with this now? And at the very moment that you waited past Shkia, you're in trouble. You can't do the Zrika because there's no Zrika at Lila. And what are you going to do? You're going to do the Zrika tomorrow, Bayom, but what about the psul of Lina? So the mail is possibly did Lina. Ulechora says the Briskerov, Lechora, Yeshli Ashid Kushta Tosbe Pashtas. There's no question at all. The Ikan Afkavina, what Tosas didn't realize in Afkavina, Lemachashi, Lizok, Asadam, Liachar, Shkia, Sachama. That if at the time of.
Not Lila, because it's not Lila.
If at the time of the Shkita he had in mind to be Zork the Dam after Shkia, Sachama, did he call up Sul, Machmas, She'eno Yachal, Lizok, Balila? The way Tosas says he can't do the Zrik at night, Lo Mikri Chutz Lizmano. That would be like a case of a person has a shoma that it raises a balmul to the zrika. The havi kemoshe machashish is a kup sulim to lavi machshem espigo. I will eat dam nifsal b'shkia sachama. Is then a machshava lizro chutz lizmano would engender pigol. And it seems, says the Brisker Rav, that Tosis is not operating with the premise that there is such thing as a machshem espigol for the Zrikas Adam after Shkia. If Tosis would admit that there's a psul of Pigel with a Machshav of Zrika Liachar Zmano, meaning with Shkia, then Tosis Kasha is no Kasha. But Brisker Rav says that it could only be a Machshav of Pigel on Chutz Zmano in Zrika if you assume that Shkia in Jain is some sort of psul in the Gufo Shaldam and the Chetz Shaldam. But Tosis is operating with the assumption that there is no psul in the Gufa Shaldan. It's just that he can't do the Zrik anymore. So Tosis says he can't do the Zrik anymore, so what do I need this whole halacha of Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sacham? In any event, tomorrow when it gets daybreak, he won't be able to do the Zrik because it has a psul of Lina. Lina flies all over the place. I hope you were able to enjoy this. If not, take a look at Chelik Beis. You can photocopy my edition if you can't get Chelik Beis.
And Shkia you're talking about. That's why
that's Rabbein and Tam and Rashi.
That's why Tosfos holds like Rabbein and Tam. And Rabbein so calls like...
So make a difference between Seisak of Hom and Shkia. Shkia Rishonah, Shkia
Shkia. Rabbein so talks about Shkia
Rishonah. I don't know if I have quickness for that now.
Rabbein, then you're saying that because...